Blog Talk Radio.
Radio show. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, a spiritual relationship healing expert helping men and women heal their bodies, their relationships, and their lives through love. Author of the book Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, and director of HealthyBabyBoomersNetwork.com. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter how old you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can, and often does, get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Today, I have a delightful pleasure of speaking with Sarah Steele, an empowering speaker, trainer, and author with more than a decade of global business experience. Combining deep capabilities in communication, change management, and emotional intelligence, Sarah brings a globally savvy touch to all of her work. Most of all, she is passionate about helping individuals achieve outstanding results in the most efficient and effective way possible, and we can all use that. Sarah has over 12 years of business experience in both human resources and operational management, including recruiting, mentoring, and coaching senior management. As head of human resources for DirecTV in Latin America, but it was based in North America, she gained an invaluable experience in team dynamics within a multicultural environment, bringing individuals from the UK, the USA, and across Latin America together to work as a high-performing team. In other roles, she has sat on the mergers and acquisition team. Some of the organizations Sarah and her team have worked with include NASA, World Bank, United Nations, DHL, Bank of Tokyo, Viacom, and many other companies. With an MBA from Durham University in the UK and training in neuro-linguistics programming, NLP, and being the only licensed facilitator of the change cycle in Europe, Sarah has had extensive experience in the corporate world and also dealing with the inner and meta states of individuals. So I'm really happy to welcome you, Sarah.
Thank you, Dr. Erica. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, and we're far away. So just tell us where you are at the moment.
We are so near and yet so far, Dr. Erica. I am currently on the south coast of the UK. I am about 70 miles from London and about 25 miles from France, in a sleepy little village called Westgate-on-Sea. And the sun is shining and the daffodils are out, and I'm looking at a beautiful ocean with the sun going to be setting shortly.
And this is the wonderful world of the internet. But you have had a lot of global experience. So I'd like you to tell us, you know, in your own words, a little more about your background and what's led you to where you are right now.
Sure. Well, as you can tell from my accent probably, I am originally from the UK. I have worked in the UK and the US extensively. I currently split my time between the two countries, between the States and Europe, because I can. I love working in the States, but ultimately family is here in the UK. So I come back, spend some time with my parents and regroup. And I've worked across many cultures, as you were saying before. I've really became involved in the whole personal development field probably in the 90s. And I realized that that really was where my passion was, despite working with all the corporates and working with some fantastic clients, as you said. What really gets me excited is helping individuals live the life that they know that they can when life doesn't get in the way and other people don't stop us. So I've worked with some great clients. I've worked with lots of corporates. And I've worked with some fabulous individuals. I've done a lot of work with the Prince of Wales's Trust, a nonprofit over here in the UK that helps disadvantaged youth get a step on the ladder and make their way in the world, which I thoroughly enjoyed. So then I got into producing the audio CD and the books, and that's what led me to where I am now. It was never a grand plan. I just woke up one morning and realized that this is what I was doing.
So why don't you tell a little bit about the audio CD and, you know, what the products are that you have?
Sure. Well, the one that we're going to be talking about today that the material is based on is an audio CD called The Success Questions. And it's basically 10 questions that you can ask yourself when we have to make a decision or we get to a crossroads in our lives. So many of us promise ourselves we're going to do something, and then I don't know about you, but for me, a whole year can go by and I still haven't done that thing I promised myself I was going to do. And I just think, where did that time go? Here in the UK, there's a shopping mall that I go to often with my friend over here. And I'm 41, we're in our 40s, and they have one of those climbing walls. And for years, this climbing wall's been there, it must be about 10 years now. And every time my friend and I go in and out of the shopping mall, I look at it and I turn to her and I say, I really want to climb that wall. And it's now got a joke that I don't even have to say anything. As we walk past it, she just says to me, yeah, I know. And, you know, life gets in the way, and I've just never actually managed to climb that wall. And we have to, now that's obviously an example of something that isn't really that significant in our lives, but very often it can be those things that are significant, our relationships, looking after our elders, you know, the baby boomers who we're talking to today. You know, a lot of our parents are now getting a lot older. Children are growing up. Relationships are taking on whole new meanings and new paths and new forms. And it's looking at really, okay, what is it that I want and how do I make the right decisions that help me get there, rather than looking back this time next year and thinking, oh, I still want to climb that wall.
So, using your own situation, I would like to ask you a question, like, what are some of the questions you could ask yourself about climbing that wall?
Absolutely. What is it? You know, why is it I have not climbed that wall? And, you know, number one is that, to be perfectly honest, it's just not that important enough. You know, I'd like to do it. Yeah, I'd like to look back and say, yes, I climbed that wall. But actually, in the big scheme of everything else going on in my world, it just isn't one of those big things that we have to do. And I'm thankful that that is. But there's been times in my life when it has been the big important things that have really mattered, when it has been those times that actually it was something that really did matter and we had to make some really difficult decisions around what am I going to do. And I have to tell you, I haven't always made the right decision, you know, and I've paid the price emotionally, physically, exhaustion, you know, and just looking back and thinking why, you know, that losing that sense of pride and thinking, why did I do that to myself? And I think that was when I started in the personal development field and working with my clients, I suddenly realized that, you know, I'm not the only one. Others have gone through this as well. And I started to see patterns emerging from my clients that really is what led me to put together the audio CD. It was those patterns I consistently saw all of us, including me, falling into and thinking, oh, why do we do that to ourselves? What is it that we need to help us?
So I have a question. Like, a lot of people find it really difficult to make a decision. And I was reading about really successful people that they make a decision quickly and they adjust slowly afterwards, whereas unsuccessful people take a very long time to make a decision, and then they change their mind quickly. That
yes,
was just interesting to read that. So why is it that some people, that many people, find it so hard to make a decision?
You know, and absolutely, Dr. Erica, and there's a whole bunch of reasons why we make a decision. And in fact, in preparing for this interview, when I was actually at the airport waiting to fly over here to the UK from Miami, I phoned a bunch of people that I respect and that I consider successful in their lives. And I said to them, you know, just let me ask you a question. I said, and my question was, what's the thing that stops you making decisions? And it was fascinating. Some of the questions I got back, I discovered that they really haven't changed since I originally wrote the audio CD all those years ago. And some of the responses I got was, I don't want to be wrong. Sometimes people don't make decisions because they're so afraid of making the wrong decisions. Just like you said, those people that take them forever to make a decision and then they change their mind quickly. So sometimes it's that fear element of, I don't want to be wrong. And sometimes people don't want to be wrong because they're worried that they're going to lose their job. Sometimes it can just be the ego that gets in the way. I don't want other people to look at me and think I don't know what I'm doing. Sometimes it's because circumstances change, but we don't want to be flexible. We've made a decision. As you said, so successful people will make a decision quickly and then adjust as they go through the process. Sometimes the most unsuccessful ones are those ones that make a decision quickly and then get so stubborn about it that they're not prepared to be flexible, they're not prepared to adjust, either as circumstances around them change or as they find out that perhaps this wasn't the best decision. And there's that inflexibility there. And sometimes people are wondering about how difficult is it going to be to undo this decision once I've made it. There's this fear that if I make a decision, I'm going to be stuck with it forever. So there's a whole bunch of reasons why sometimes it's laziness, you know, me and the world. I have to admit it, come down to no more than it's not that important and I just haven't gotten my act into gear. But, you know, when I do it, I'll feel so proud of myself for having done it. But it's for a whole bunch of reasons why people don't make decisions. And we all know what our reasons are. If we all ask ourselves that question, what is it that's stopping me making this decision? We'll know the answer. Whether we like what we hear or not, we'll know the answer that comes back to us.
I thought of another reason that someone might not want to make a decision. Because once you make that decision, you really have to take action and take some steps. A lot of people don't want to do the work involved in whatever it is, like decision
Absolutely.
To get physically fit. You have to go to the gym and do it.
Absolutely. If you want to lose weight, you can't, you know, eat those extra donuts. Sometimes it's about action. Sometimes it's about, you know, wanting to carry on doing exactly what I'm doing. And, you know, one of the questions we have to ask ourselves one of the questions in the success questions is, what are my beliefs? And do I believe that I can really achieve this? Do I believe that I can that this is worth the effort? I was speaking to somebody just yesterday, actually, who is a great, wonderful, great, intelligent, amazing person, and they have lots of good things happen to them, and then those good things seem to get sabotaged in some way. And I said to them, you know, what is it? Why is it that, you know, you're not keeping hold of these nice things? And their response that came back was fascinating. Their response was, because people don't deserve nice things.
Really?
And, yeah. And sometimes we have these beliefs we've carried around with us from childhood. Sometimes my own personal belief for many years was that I can't be doing it right unless it's hard work.
Right.
That's how I'm going up the corporate ladder. That's how I know I'm doing the right things. It's when it's hard work. And for many years, doing what I do now, it doesn't feel like hard work to me. I love it. And I really had to get over that belief that, you know, it doesn't have to be hard work. It can be fun. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of beliefs that people have. And the other big thing about taking this action is about breaking it down into the baby steps. We've all procrastinated. We've all had those things on our list for way too long. And it's about breaking it down into the baby steps, the tiniest little steps that we can possibly come up with. And in the workbook that's about to come out with the CD, I tell people, write down, the first step is to do no more than make a list of all the steps. It's the only thing that you're allowed to do on day one. Just make a list of all the steps that you have to take in order to make this happen.
And that's another thing. A lot of people don't think of all those steps. They just think of, I'm here and I want to get there, and they don't think of the steps in between. So it feels so overwhelming.
Absolutely. They're here and they see over there so far away and so difficult to reach. You know, one of the examples I give in the audio CD is that, you know, if you were stood at the bottom of Mount Everest and someone said, okay, go on, climb that, you'd feel overwhelmed. But if you were at the bottom of Mount Everest and there was a guide saying to you, okay, all we're going to do today is learn how to use the safety equipment. And tomorrow we're going to come back and we're going to go 5 foot up Mount Everest, and that's it. Suddenly it's broken down and it's in doable chunks.
Right. All right. So what do you do or say to help people to make decisions more easily?
First off is into actually making the decisions. There's a couple of questions that you really need to ask yourself, because there's a difference between making a decision and then doing a decision. Mm-hmm. Some people get stuck in the making the decision. The consequences seem so huge, so I'm just not going to make a decision. Some people they've made the decision, they just then get stuck in the doing the decision. So in the making of the decision, one of the first things to be thinking about is to ask yourself, what end goal do I want for me? So it's, what is it that I actually want here? And this isn't about, what does my partner want? What do my children want? What does my boss want? What do my friends want? It's about, what do I want for me? Because sometimes those things will coincide with one another, and what our partner and our children want is the same as what we want, and that's fabulous. Sometimes we have to help others make their decision. If we have children relying on us, you know, and they can't do something for themselves, we're going to have to do that. But especially women, you know, we have this disease to please. And we're really, really good at helping everybody else around us achieve their goals. And then we forget to focus on our own goals, especially the baby boomers who've got children, who've got adults getting more, you know, who are getting elderly and need some assistance. And I was actually reading just the other day, there's been some research done by Real Simple magazine, the April edition of Real Simple, and the Families and Work Institute. And they've done this study, which I found fascinating. And it says half of American women say that they don't have enough free time. Well, I think the only surprise there is it's only half of American women. Mm-hmm. And they say that 52% of women have less than 90 minutes of free time every day. And 29% have less than 45 minutes free time a day. 45 minutes isn't even enough time to watch your favorite show.
Right. Well, they don't have the time. If they're working and they also have children and, you know, or elderly parents to take care of, there's a lot of responsibilities. That makes sense.
It is. It's a lot of responsibility. And what's also fascinating when you then dig a bit deeper in this research is that more than eight in 10 women say that their partners have the same or higher standards when it comes to childcare. And 6 in 10 say that their partners have the same or higher standards when it comes to household chores. However, the women in the research don't delegate those chores to their partners. For three main reasons. Number one, they enjoy doing them. Number two, the quote, if I did less around the house or with my children, I would feel like I wasn't taking care of them properly.
Wow, that's a big one. Yeah.
Isn't it just? Or number three, I don't believe my partner would do the household chores in the way that I want them done.
I've heard so often. That instead of letting the partner do it and having it not be quite the way you want, but it gives you free time.
Absolutely. So this is why we come back to this first question in the success questions, which is, what exactly is it that I want? Do I want the chores done in a certain way, or do I want to have an extra 30 minutes to study for an exam I want to sit? Or do I want to have the extra 30 minutes to go get a manicure or whatever, or to even spend with the children, or just to do nothing, to lay in the bath, have a big hot, you know, soak in the tub with a glass of wine for half an hour.
What I hear you talking about is that people may, women particularly in this circumstance, may say they want something, but they are not willing to be flexible in order to really get what they want, that it does require a certain amount of flexibility.
It does, and it also requires discipline. You know, to actually accept that, no, it's okay if the chores aren't done the way that I would like them done. Or it's okay for me to say no to something. Because we have, as women, we tend to feel guilty when we say no. You know, we tend to have this disease to please, and we feel bad when we have to tell a friend or a loved one no. And it's about learning to, and that's one of the questions that I have people ask themselves in these success questions, is that if I say no to this, what am I saying yes to? It's about learning to say no without feeling guilty.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about looking at what exactly is it that I want and why is that important to me. It's the very, very first step. And if it's getting the chores done in the way that you want them done, there's nothing wrong with that, but accept that that's your choice.
Right, and then don't complain that you don't have time. Just accept
it. Exactly, you make that choice, right? So I choose to do the chores so that they're done exactly as I want rather than this other thing that I could do, because I don't know many women that have got too much time in the day. I don't know too much of anybody in this world of instant, you know, gratification and the instantness of everybody wanting an answer right here, right now. So many people now are on the Blackberries or the iPhones after working hours.
Right.
So we don't have too much time in the day. So we have to make a decision. It's either this or it's that. We don't always
have
time.
All right, so I have a couple of questions here. One of them is sometimes we want to make a decision, but we have two choices, and each of them could be appealing for different reasons. So how do you make that choice and stick to it without regretting the other choice, not having
Absolutely.
Made the other choice?
Absolutely. And one of the first things there is, again, breaking it back down into that baby step so I can ease into this choice slowly to see how it fits for me. Like you said, those successful people, they make the decision quickly, but then they ease into it and they adjust to it, and then what, they're flexible around it. So just make a decision. Don't get stuck in the analysis paralysis. You know, just make a choice, make a decision, and take baby steps into it, because that way, if it is the wrong choice, it's easier for you to undo it and to be flexible.
Right, that's great. And then how do you make a decision when you don't have all the information that you need?
Yeah, absolutely. What if there's stuff that I think I might not know? And, you know, we have to accept that I can only make a decision based on what I know right now. And other stuff may well come to light, and that's fine, but based on what I know right now, this is my choice. And so sometimes we know that there's a piece of missing information, but we just can't get that information. So we can only guess. So again, it's about being flexible. It's about cutting it down into those baby steps. And it's about asking yourself, you know, this choice that I'm making, do I really have the environment and the people around me to be successful at this? Do I need to change the people I surround myself with? Do I need to change the environment that I'm in? So do I need to make sure I've got the right food in the refrigerator in order to lose those extra few pounds? So it's about looking at the whole picture.
I really like that you keep asking questions rather than saying, like a lot of people do, they give you a list of steps, do this and do that and do this, and you're doing the opposite. You're asking questions so that the person comes to the conclusion themselves.
Absolutely. They know them better than I know them. You know, I can't tell them what to do. All I can do is say, well, look, these are the questions you can ask yourself. What's the answer? All I can do is help people get the knowledge. It's down to them whether or not they take any action and therefore live the results. You know, all I can do is lead them to the insights and the knowledge, and that's my aim. That's what I try to do.
All right, so tell a little bit about your audio CD and the follow-up workbook, you know, and like what the a few things, what the question is that your clients might find most useful in there. You know, and then
yeah, it's
a little more about
I was delivering a workshop in South Florida for this about 3 weeks ago now. And at the end, I asked them, what was the most useful question for you? And there were a number of different ones, but one of those that had the consistent theme was how exactly or what exactly do I want to achieve? What's my goal here for me? That was a big one. And the baby steps was another big one, the cutting it down into the baby steps and the learning to say no so that I recognize the things that I'm going to say yes to instead. So they were some of the key ones that people seem to really find useful. And then depending on the decision we're trying to make will depend on which of the other 10 questions we're going to find the most useful. Not all 10 questions might be appropriate for each decision we have to make. And some of these decisions might be big life decisions. Some of them might be, am I going to have this to eat or that to eat when I put my hand in the refrigerator tonight? You know, some of them might be real simple day-to-day decisions, and that's really what I want to help people get to. So the audio CD,
there is a saying kind of that however you do one thing is the way you do everything. So maybe the way you make a decision, even on a small thing, affects the way you make a decision on a larger thing.
Absolutely, and that's because as human beings, we are creatures of habit. We operate on habit, and the habits we learn, because that's the path of least resistance, and that's the way that our brain operates. So it's about making sure, and that's one of the questions, do my habits support me or sabotage me? You know, do I have habits that actually help me make the right decisions, or am I still operating on the habits that I learned as a small child or in a different environment? Or before my parents got poorly, or before I got married, or before I had children. So it's about, we are creatures of habit, and it's about making sure we have the right habits to support us in achieving what we've decided we want to achieve.
So how can people find out more about your audio and all of your products?
Absolutely. Well, as we were talking about earlier, what I'd love to do for your listeners, Dr. Erica, is I put together a tip sheet of, and it lists all 10 of the success questions with a couple of points about each one to get people thinking and to see which one resonates mostly with them. And they can, if they want to email me at gift, G-I-F-T, at managingyouacademy.com. So if they just email gift at managingyouacademy.com, we will get that over to them. And then they can see which one really resonates with them. And then, you know, if they wanted to listen to the CD later, they could. And each track is only 5 minutes long, so you can pick the track that applies to you and listen to it quickly in the car while you're running errands in the day. But the first step really is getting the tip sheet, which I'll happily send, you know, with my compliments. And we'll get that out to everybody.
Say that email again, the first few letters, maybe spell it or something, because I didn't quite get it.
Sure. It's gift, as in G-I-F-T. So gift at managing, M-A-N-A-G-I-N-G, U-Y-O-U, academy.com.
Okay, that's great. So is there anything more you could tell our listeners to bring this subject to a deeper level? Just a quick summary.
I think that, again, the biggest thing, as you mentioned, is about the habits. The way we do one thing is the way we do many things. And it's about looking at your habits and doing the work that's necessary to change them. Because, and I think the biggest thing for the deeper level is to, you know, understand what's going on with ourselves and have an honest conversation with ourselves rather than saying, oh, I can't lose weight, I can't do this, it doesn't work for me, is about saying, okay, so...
All right, Sarah, we're going to have to end. This was wonderful. I love what you're saying, but thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.